When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Mitch Tischler on a Tischler Tuesday coming up at 5 p.m. Of course, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast with J.P. Finley. He'll join us at 5. Jaden Daniels, Take Command, Tape Tuesday at 5:30. Our NFL tiers at 6. That's going to get interesting. So, loaded show still to come here on the Team 980. Breaking baseball news, just real quick, because this literally just came across. As hot stove stuff is heating up in Major League Baseball, the Cubs are trading Cody Bellinger to the Yankees. So, there you go. Baseball fans, baseball! Cody Bellinger to the Yankees from the Cubs. That according to Jeff Passan at ESPN. Back to the football. Vibe check Tuesday, 301-230-0980. How you feeling about the Commanders off their win over New Orleans, headed into Philly, and this final three-game stretch of the season? Let's go to Reggie. Reggie, thanks for holding. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's going on, Craig? Love the show as always.
Appreciate it, bro.
I don't understand, man, how people are, like, I don't say down, but I, you know, listening to all week. Craig, I get it. You know what I mean? We was up 14-0. I think, you know, I think that drive before half, I think if we maybe scored one more, got 17, if we missed field goal. You know, I get it. It came down to, you know, a nail biter, which you shouldn't have. But Craig, it's the NFL. And more importantly, I think we, and you probably can agree with this, we're 2 years ahead of schedule. Like, we just had a complete freaking roster overhaul. So for me, man, I'm excited about where we are. There's no way. I don't care what I'm talking about your diehard, which I am, like, the glass is always full, that I expected for us to be 9-5 at this point. So with us being 9-5, I'm really looking at this Eagles game. This is the, according to, like, pretty much all of the rankings, the best team in the NFL. They won, what, 11 straight. I'm looking to see really just, you know, mano a mano, coaching on coaching. How do we really stack up against the Eagles? The first game, again, we if you think about it, think about the first game. The Eagles played Dallas, but that was without Dak, and they was crushing them where they hurt. I don't even think they played in the fourth quarter. So I'm not saying that was kind of a bye, but that wasn't a physical game like we played against Pittsburgh that came down to the fourth quarter. So we in a physical battle against Pittsburgh. They, again, in more of a, you know, kind of a not relaxed because it's an NFL game, but they had a rather easier game against Dallas than we played them on a short week. So I want to see really, okay, you know, equal rest. You know, as far as injuries are concerned, I'm going to be really curious as far as some of the injuries that we had. Especially with the offensive line, because they, you know, them two boys in the middle, but Philly is putting a lot of pressure on opposing offensive line. So as long as we can come in relatively healthy, I want to see how we really stack up with the Eagles. Because remember, Craig, what was that fourth quarter? It was 13-12.
No, it was. It was. And to add on to what you're saying, Reggie, and I appreciate your perspective on this because, you have to both zoom in and zoom out at the same time, which sounds impossible. But, within the context of the Saints game, it's really frustrating because they should have put that game away on a bunch of different plays because they're just the better team. But should they be the better team at this point with where they are in the rebuild and how bad the roster was last year and how much turnover? You're absolutely right on a bigger picture standpoint. And the other thing I'll add, too, is there is probably no team that I'd least like to face schematically on a short week with a rookie quarterback than the Philadelphia Eagles for an offense. So defensively, what they present, and Vic Fangio's the guy that invented the defense, he does stuff that nobody else does, and they do it better than all the other teams that do versions of it. And so that zone match, is it man, is it zone, how do I progress through this, to try to game plan for and teach a young player that, even one as smart and dedicated as Jaden Daniels, on 4 days rest, 3 days rest, or 3 days of prep time, that's nasty. That is really tough. And so I'm very, very, on the road too. I'm very, although, let's be real. Philadelphia ain't that much farther from Ashburn than FedEx, or than Northwest Stadium, but we can talk about that a different day. Maybe tomorrow, as we'll have more updates on the RFK bill. Point is, that was a tough one. That was a really tough one schedule-wise. Every team has them. They performed admirably for 3.5 quarters, and then things went sideways. But I'm very much looking forward to Sunday as well. Reggie, thanks for the call. As always, happy holidays. Let's go to Keith. Keith, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome to the show, Keith. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I wanted to mention a couple of things, and then I'll talk about the receiver core, and I'll keep it short. But I'm concerned about an ongoing trend that we have of playing really well in the first half and then nothing offensively in the second half. That's something that continuously happens, and I'm sort of worried about. Is that game planning, or what is that? Or are we just taking our foot off the gas? And then secondly, with Jaden, as much as he's played well, as I watch it, and you tell me if this is me, but literally, every time he decides to start running, he stops looking downfield, because there are many, many times when he could just take the dump off or the short, drop it off to a running back to somebody in the flat, and he doesn't do it, and he either gets hit or he gets no gain and runs out of bounds. So those are the two trends. And then the last part of it is, as we're talking about our receivers, I wonder why we don't talk about Jamison Crowder enough. I mean, I really like Jamison. I remember from when he was here with us the first time, and he was one of my favorite players. He's great in the slot. He's shifty, which is one of the issues we don't have with a lot of the other receivers. But it doesn't seem like anybody is considering him as an option to solve some of our issues with the receivers. And I will stop and let you talk.
Keith, appreciate the call. And great questions, great points. Let me work in reverse, and let me keep you on the phone just so if I forget the first thing you talk about. Crowder is, look, I covered Jamison when I was on the beat. Jamison's one of my favorite guys. It's kind of funny because when I walk in the locker room now, I don't know a lot of those guys, but Jamison and I kind of give each other a look like, hey, I actually do know you. So I have a soft spot for Jamison on a personal level. And as a player, I think he is useful. He still is shifty, but his lack of size at times shows up. He's not as reliable as a blocker in the run game. He fights hard. He's just not that good at it. And so if he's on the field, is that a giveaway / you're just giving away a blocker if you do decide to run it, versus guys like Diami or OZ, who are a little tougher in that realm. And he doesn't have, for as quick as he is in short areas, he doesn't have great vertical speed. So there's some limitations in his game that way. And at some point, as much as I like him and think that in certain situations he's really helpful, he's been around the league a little bit. He's bounced around. He was signed here on the practice squad. Other teams could have signed him. He was on IR for most of the year, but last year, he was available if teams wanted him for portions of the season. So I just think, we have to be realistic about who he is, which is probably, a fourth receiver, and they're using him that way. And I think they can use him more against, man-to-man coverage, and they did some of that on Sunday, and I think they'll continue to do that the rest of the season. So that's the Jamison Crowder part of it. What was the other thing that you mentioned before that?
About the disturbing trend of not
first half, second half.
Offensively in the second half.
Yeah, so It definitely has been a trend, and they've gotten up big in some first halves, and things have not gone as well. But it also is hard because here's the second half on Sunday. I have my offensive notes in front of me. So the first play or the first drive of the second half ends at the 1 yard line with that play where Luke McCaffrey doesn't do what he needs to do, and they don't get in, and they kick a 23-yard field goal, which makes me want to pull my hair out. The second drive of that half ends on a field goal. There was a sack on that drive, and that kind of undid it. And Jaden just had a bad play. That happens. There's some other stuff in that drive where there's some near misses. The third drive of that half, it ends on... that was probably their worst drive of the game. But all in all, you have bad drives. Okay, that's one out of three that I would say is a bad drive. And the final drive of the game it's a four-plus minute drive that's like over 10 plays that ends on a missed field goal that they should have gotten late. And they also have a play that gets them inside the 10-yard line that's called back on a correct but kind of ticky-tack penalty on Nick Allegretti. So... And by the way, on both of those last two drives, the one that I said is the worst drive of the game, and the last drive that ends in a field goal, those two drives have the three missed opportunities from Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin, which all could have been 50-plus yard touchdowns. So, like, sometimes it's not game plan. And I think it's a great question because it allows us to illustrate that it's not some game plan change. Like, Cliff clearly had some haymakers that he saved in his back pocket, and he called him at the end, and you just didn't hit him. So it's execution. It's not committing penalties. It's hitting the big-time throws. It's stuff like that. And sometimes you hit him in the first half. You don't in the second. I don't know if there's any real magic to that or just kind of how it's gone, but it definitely is an execution thing to me, not a game plan thing, because those opportunities existed and they just didn't take advantage of them.
Got it.
There you go.
The other question was about Jaden taking those dump downs and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the next step for him. Like, he's a young player, and I think you have to let him figure some of this stuff out on his own, because you also don't get the 3rd-and-16 conversion for a first down if you don't let him scramble around some. And so he's going to make some plays, and other times you're like, man, just take the easy one, take the check down. And I think just as Lamar did, as Josh Allen did, as some of these great mobile quarterbacks are at the top of the NFL, they figured it out as they went. And I think Jaden is smart enough that he will as well. But it's definitely an ongoing process, and your eyes are not deceiving you that the optimal situation would be for him to check it down a little more often. Keith, great call, especially for a first one. Really appreciate it. And thanks as always for listening. When we get back, Mitch Tischler joins us. It's a Tischler Tuesday here on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.